The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with Desmond and Sunny King. These fabulous people started King's Fabulous Cleaning Service 2013 in Hagerstown, Maryland. And they told me before the show, they really restarted like 3-4 years ago, but they kind of started. And I want to share that because it's a lot of your guys' story. So I don't want you to, sometimes we have our clients on and people are like, oh, they're different or their life is better. Or they had some sort of secret thing that I don't have. Nope. Just like you guys, you know, a little bit of, I tried this and it was kind of a side hustle and whatever and whatever, whatever. So there you go. That said, let's talk about, you guys talk about what got you in the cleaning business originally, and then what made you go from side hustle to like, all right, this is a real deal. Let's go all in. Let's start there.
So what made me really like put the first step into starting the business was that I just got tired of really working like a 9-to-5. And then I seen how like my employers used to treat me as an employee, and I just felt like I wasn't appreciated. Mm. So I really wanted to create something and try to make a difference, and then also help people, because cleaning has always been my passion.
Beautiful. So that was when you started. And then when you, cause you're like, hey, I don't like how my employer treated me. Was the goal to go full time? If so, were you able to go full time? If not, what stopped you? Like, walk us through that.
So I wasn't able to go full time at first, is because of course I didn't have as many clients. Once Sunvia did finish school, then I decided to leave my full-time employer and jump into the business full-time. And once I did that, just customers just started coming, like they started piling up really fast.
Beautiful. And so you kind of start, and it's very common, by the way, for people to be like, have a change in not their business life, right? Like I got married, or my wife did this, or I had some sort of that, or like just other things. You're like, okay, they get fired and like, well, I guess I'm full time. Like it just happens. What's your perspective, Sunvia? What's your role, and kind of what's your perspective watching this thing grow, shrink, his wins and losses? Give us a little overview from your side.
Yeah, so he's always pretty much been talking about owning his own cleaning business. And, you know, so from 2013, it was kind of in the making. And then so when I was in school, he mainly like helped with the bills and that sort of thing. So it wasn't really feasible to switch over. But it was always in the plan that once I graduated and we relocated, he would have the opportunity to switch off and either go part-time or switch into the business fully, just so that we had that security still. So it was in the plan. And then so I just really tried to support and, you know, do as much research on entrepreneurship and that sort of thing too. So.
And it's so funny what a big role spouses, and it doesn't matter if the wife is the owner or the husband, just the spousal support or lack thereof. Boy, business is hard, and you got a good spouse to support you, it goes a long gosh darn way. And you don't have a good spouse to support you that's like actively against you, it is really, really hard. So God bless you, Sunny. So that said, what made you reach out to us? Was it, we're doing well, we want to do better, things aren't going so good, we got pain we want to solve? Like, what made you go, we got to do something different, we need help, we want to take a different route?
So I started getting stressed day in and day out with the employees. It just was like I could not get the employees under control. And then it was like we were trying to grow another location, which we wasn't even, Hagerstown wasn't even under control. So it wasn't even feasible to try to start another location. So it was just a lot of frustration piling up on trying to start another location, trying to get Hagerstown under control, trying to get the employees to start doing their job the way that they're supposed to be doing their job. And I was really to like a breaking point where I was like, look, I'm either about to get ready to hire a manager to come in and really start trying to run this and pay them more money, and then me find a part-time job, or just pretty much step away.
Okay. So it was a do or die. this has to get fixed, or I'm done. I'm not willing to run it like this. Is that fair?
Right, right. Yes. And your podcast always popped up for me for years. It's been coming. I've been seeing it on YouTube. You've been like, I don't know how Facebook and stuff knows, but Mike's always been popping up. And I said, well, let me go ahead and try to call Mike and see what he can help us with.
It's really funny too, because we've been doing this for coming on a decade, and we've been running paid advertising the whole time and had our podcast up the whole time. And people will say, I just saw it, or you started advertising right when I needed it. And it's like, no, you saw, we've been there the whole time. You just didn't see it. Not you, but everybody. And that's how marketing works for everybody, right? Like, you run your ads and people are like, oh, I just saw your ad today. You're like, I've sent you 37 flyers, 17 direct marketing posts. Like, yeah, but I didn't have any pain before then. It wasn't a problem. So I didn't pay no attention. Okay. So what I'm hearing you saying, it was just staff. You're like, I couldn't hire people. The people I did hire were making me miserable. I wasn't making money. And you got to the point from kind of fun side hustle to wanting it to be a real business. You're like, it's not, it's just a real pain. So I'd rather just get a job. Okay. So,
and then even also, it was almost like I could see him getting pulled in different directions, you know, like wanting also to start a whole nother location, you know, and then the employees, you know, some of them say he should do this. Somebody's also saying he should do that. Even an accountant saying, oh, well, no, you should do this. So, you know, I could definitely see him getting pulled in different directions. So it was definitely important for us to find somebody who could help guide us, or guide him the right direction with it.
Yeah. The only thing worse than the right answer is three right answers. Right. And I don't know if the different people that were giving you feedback were, you know, just guessing. Some was good, some was bad, and some was probably in the middle. But even if it was all good, like three of the right answers, but different things are bad, right? You can only you put three great cooks in one kitchen, you're gonna come up with a problem. So I'm not reveling in your pain, but I love that you're here to help the other people that are going through exactly where you're at. So first thing, it's always fun when people are like, I listened to the podcast and, you know, I heard other people and they encouraged me, and then I thought maybe I could do it, and then now you're encouraging people that you may never meet that will go, because we get that all the time. Most of the time when people call us that are podcast fans, they'll say, oftentimes it was a specific episode, and I wish it was me. You're so genius, Mike. Your coaching's the best. I remember when you told me, and you changed. It's never that. It's always, I remember. They usually don't remember the name, but the guy in that thing where he was an employee stunk and he's trying to open another location, that guy, and they won't remember the name, and I'll have to be like, boy, that was Desmond. That was Sunny. So it's just great that you're here. That said, let's walk through to the people that are listening and be like, great, now I know that you had the same problem I have. What, you know, how do I, that isn't interesting to me. How do I get, like, let's walk through where you guys are at now, what you changed, and do our best to kind of give some value to the people that are having that same pain that you had when you reach out for help.
Okay. So what I started doing was by going through your class, I started implementing and realigning a lot of the positions, you know. Some people that I did have on salary, and I did get rid of those. And once I started realigning the positions and then got that hiring funnel going, I really started seeing a big difference. And also reducing employees' hours down to that 15 to 20 hour mark. Really, we don't want them at 15. I mean, really, we don't want them at 20 hours. We really want them at 15 hours. So when I started giving them less hours, I started seeing better work performance, better work ethics. Also, they wasn't burnt out with the job. They just started loving the work environment. Mm-hmm. And then I started changing up our culture a little bit and really trying to make sure when we bring on people that we were bringing on people that matches our core values. You'll be surprised since I've been in your 9-week class, how many people we have turned down and did not hire.
I love that. So there's so much good stuff in there I want to unpack. First, I love the having people work less. And typically on the podcast, I will promote that for just supply and demand, right? When people are working 30, 40 hours a week and they're exhausted and someone calls out, well, if he calls out for an 8-hour shift, replacing that's a lot harder with another dude working an 8-hour shift. Like, what is he, work 16 hours? And also they're tired. And so usually we talk about just the logistics of, well, if you got 10 guys working 40 hours a week and one guy quits, now what are you going to do? Or God forbid, you get two guys working 40 hours a week and one guy quits. What, do you have one guy work 80? So when you, the more people you have, just logistically it works. I love what you said about people. They're, because they'll fight like heck. Oh, I need 1,000 hours and I need to do this and I need that, you know. Mm-hmm. But in reality, their work gets better. They get happier because everyone says they want to and can work 8 hours a week. And some can, but it's like 1 in 10, 9 in 10. Say what they say is, I'd like to get paid for 8 hours a week, but they don't, or 8 hours a day or 40 hours a week, but they don't. And they think they want to do that until you have them do it. And then their attitude and their work ethic shows up. So I love sharing that.
Right.
Second, and this is what I really want to unpack. Hey, I just want to point that out because it's so beautiful. And you said it so well. The thing I really want to get at is, a lot of my success in building amazing teams, you guys have worked with our team, so you know they're all smarter and better than I am, by a lot. It's not even close. And that's all been core values. So I love hearing guys and gals come on the podcast and be like, we started hiring core values-based people. But it's frustrating because I know if I'm listening, I'm like, well, I don't know. That's all like, you know, have a better mindset. Like, I don't know how to do that. So to the best of your ability, what specifically, how did you make that change from like, I don't know who to hire. I'm saying yes to too many people, but I don't know why. How'd you make that change? So I know who to say, not perfect, by the way, we're still going to have turnover. Don't, you know, I can't imagine Desmond like, everyone we've hired has been perfect and they're still with us. And you know, like, that's not true. What specifically can you break down for the people listening that might be a little overwhelmed? Like, I get the idea of core values, but I don't know how to actually do that.
All right. So what I did was I took a look at the staff that we had in-house currently and the type of work ethic that they had and the type of attitude that they give me as the owner of the company. And I also analyzed the people that we had part of the company that had nasty attitudes, that were disrespectful and that would do things that like, why are you even doing that? You know, that don't make no sense. And why are you talking to me this way? So, and then I would think back how we interviewed them and how they acted in their interview. And then I went on and addressed the situation with our manager that we have. And I said, look, this individual, you know how their attitude is and stuff. And remember how they interview these kind of folks that interview like this, or they show similar traits to this individual. Let's not hire these. Now, these people are the people that we want on our team. And then I went over to core values as well with the manager too.
So it sounds like the non-fit people showed you who they were in the interview process, but y'all just didn't want to listen. You're like, no, they're going to be great. Yeah, which is super common. So how did your, because this is all interrelated. So it sounds like we're kind of jumping from thing to thing, but it really is interrelated. The working the less hours, the saying no to the wrong people, the knowing who the right people are. A lot of that is presupposing you've got enough people wanting to work, right? Because if I got, if I need 10 guys and I get 6 applicants, the likelihood of me getting one good hire, never mind 10 good hires, is next to zero. So how did that work? Because everyone's like, well, sure, I could say no to the bad people if I had enough of the good people, but I'm doing the best I can with what I got. Like, how did you work on the lead flow side? How did that change, or did it change?
So it did change. You know, what I did was I ended up bringing some more people in the office with me to really help align. And then we restructured our training as well, because at first we only had a lead person training. So we started letting all the staff know, you've been with us for 3 or 4 months. You need to be able to start training. You know, one person shouldn't be training. Oh, well, the lead needs to go and inspect after the clean. No, everybody has to do it. When we implemented that, it really helped with the hiring flow, if that makes sense.
It makes 1,000%. So instead of one person being accountable, which kind of, so if it's me and Sunny and she's in charge and she's the lead or the inspector, whatever, and she's just going to follow up, I'm like, oh, it's her job to make sure this looks good. I do what I want to do. But if we're both in charge, it's like, oh, I'm held accountable. That's a different kettle of fish. Real quick, Cleaning Nation, if you can think about how you found out about this podcast, maybe a tweet, a Facebook message, iTunes search, some sort of Instagram post, the only way we grow is word of mouth. We don't do paid ads. We don't run ads. You are it. The only ask I have is, if you're getting value, share the love. However you found out about this, if it's a review or post, whatever it is, do that. Pay it forward so the next cleaning company owner can change their life as well. Back to the show. So we've been hearing a ton from Desmond. I love that perspective, but I'm sure we got a lot of spouses or partners listening going, what's Sunny thinking over here? So from your perspective, how does this look? How's it felt? What have you seen in Desmond that you like? What did you be like, oh, I didn't see this coming? Like, give us the good and the bad.
So it was definitely different for me. I mean, I'm a manager too. So for me, I try to do everything I can to develop the people that I have. But we have not experienced the turnover like he does. You know, and I think it is the, you know, interestingly enough, you know, you've said before many times, it's not the area, you know, that you're located in, it's really the business. And so it's definitely proven that, you know, and how fast I see people turn over. But also, like, you know, hearing that, you know, you can only hire your core people, and really just holding him, like, he already holds himself accountable to that, to where, you know, I'll ask him, are you sure it was only two people that fit in your core values? Yep, I'm sure it was only two people because of this or that reason. And so, you know, he's good at that, at doing that, and hasn't really faltered on that, which has been good. And it's paid off, because anybody that comes in that door, you know, they're going to interact with the other employees a certain way. They're going to interact with the customers a certain way. And you really do want to make sure that from as soon as they come in, they know what the core values are that's expected of them, and that you're talking about that all the time with them, so that in every interaction, they know that how they're supposed to be, you know, how they're supposed to act with people communication wise. And then just in general, the type of work ethic that we're wanting. So
you can say all you want, you can't have a bad attitude. You have to have a good work ethic. But if I come into your organization and see a bunch of lazy, crabby people, I don't believe any of it. You're all full. Now I don't believe you all. Like, now I'm like, oh, these guys just lie, or they're delusional. But I don't believe other stuff that you say. Whereas if you say nothing to me, but I come in and everybody's got a great attitude, everybody's working hard, you don't have to say a word. I'm like, oh, I guess this is just like, that's the culture, so powerful. You can say whatever you want to say. You know, they're going to listen to your culture and what they see. You know, again, I could talk all this crap. If you guys came in and all my employees were afraid of me and terrified and whatever, you'd be like, this guy's full of crap. Like, you would know instantly, like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay. So one last question for Desmond, and then I'm going to let you guys kind of wrap with any comments that you think would be of value to Cleaning Nation. So last question I have for you, Desmond, you said something really interesting earlier about going to your manager and saying, hey, this attitude, this person, this, the way they're showing up isn't what we want, and this is what we want, which led me to believe that you weren't willing or able before to make that distinction. Be like, hey, Sonny, you are not showing up right, and we're actually going to do something about it. You got to go, as opposed to just like, well, I don't really like how Sonny's showing up, but what are you going to do if she quits? And you know, what am I, who's going to clean the daggum thing? So how did you make that shift to go from, I guess I get what I get and I need these people, so I'll tolerate it, to no, I have a standard and we're going to hold it?
The key to that is the hiring funnel. Okay. If it wasn't for the hiring funnel, there's no way that you can replace your cleaners and really know if they're going to stick and be core values if you don't have that hiring funnel running in the background. It has to stay running. You have to stay consistent with interviewing people. So as soon as one person cuts up, or they're showing that they're not for the company, they're not loyal, they get out the door, and you replace them with somebody else.
So having the next guy, again, I've used this analogy before, if I'm trying to get married and I've had one date in the last 3 months and I know she's probably not a marriage fit, I might lie to myself a little more. But if I've got 27 ladies looking for a date, I know this lady's not a fit, it's easy to go, best of luck. You know, I'm sure you'll find your mate. It's just not me. So kind of having that next guy, next gal, next cleaner up mentality, if you've got that next, and supercharge that by having them run the interviews, right? It's one thing when I got a little bit of a fussy attitude, I'm like, I don't need him to tell me what time it is. And then there's six other people as good or better than me that want that same job I've got. It's like, oh, you don't have to say a word. I get it instantly. Right. There's nothing. You don't have to say nothing. I'm like, oh, I guess that's a different kettle of fish. So, all right.
And then also, I want to say this too. Whenever the staff knows that you're continuously hiring, and you're like, oh, and you announce, we had 10 people show up to open interviews today. they like, oh, wow, I better not cut up, because I'm end up losing my job fast. They got 10 people waiting on the back burner that they're going to replace me with. So they hold themselves more accountable because they know that you have other people. Versus before we took the class with you, Mike, we didn't have the hiring funnel going, so they knew, like, we had no other choice, and it would take 3 to 4 weeks, maybe 5 weeks, before we could finally get someone in the door.
Yeah, do something about it, old man. Screw you. I'll do. I do what I want. What are you gonna do? And you're like, nothing. I'm sorry. Please come clean for me. And it works. And just so you guys know, this isn't all a negative, like threatening thing. It's very right. positive as well. The core values match people are like, wow, this is a good place. And they're not afraid for their job because they know they're doing a good job. Like, we must be growing. This is exciting. They're, you know, and they, because again, you put me on a team with a liar, a guy with a bad attitude, eventually one of us is going to leave, right? Because I'm pretty positive and I'm pretty good and I don't mind doing a little extra. But if I'm constantly dragging the other guy around, like filling him in, I'm just like, you know what? I don't need this. But if I got a bad guy and I see someone else getting another one in there and upgrade, I'm like, all right, let's go. So it's not just I don't want you guys to think this is just like a cudgel. You can start abusing your employees. Right. Like it's really encouraging to the right people, and the wrong people either step up and become the right people or go, oh, I'm just going to go find another place in the dark where I can do a crap job and no one's going to notice. Fine. But God bless. Go get them. You know, just somewhere. Okay.
As promised. I will say this, the people that we have now, I love all of our staff that we have now. Like, I don't have no headaches with none of them. So they're all doing what they're supposed to do.
I love that.
Yeah.
And even
some of the people that he was kind of teeter-tottering on, it's like once they start seeing the hiring funnel coming in, they start wanting to perform their best. Oh, how can I be a...
Oh, y'all got muted real quick. Right in the middle of Sunny saying something great and nobody's getting it. All right. Rewind that 5-10 seconds, Sunny. That was perfect. I want to hear everything you said. You muted for a second. Just rewind 5 seconds.
Gotcha. And then once the hiring funnel, you know, once they start to see that, then they're also saying, well, how can I get opportunities to lead more? How can I show that I'm really here and I'm a good employee? And, you know, they're starting to do that without anybody having to say anything to them. You know, it's just from the environment. So it has really been beneficial, that too.
I think it's that. And I also think that it's the hours as well, Mike.
Not having to, they go from 30, 40 hours where they're exhausted to 15. They're like, I'd like some more hours.
Yes. You see a whole different individual.
It's who's begging who, right? At 27 hours, you need, somebody didn't show. Can you please? You're the beggar, man. When they got 15 and they're coming to you going, hey, I could use some extra hours. Can I get some extra hours? You're like, all right, Sonny, you've been saying you need extra hours. I've been watching you. I love the way you've been showing up with your attitude. We got a couple. You're getting them. And now it's a gift to Sunny as opposed to her doing a gift to me. So I really like I like that energy. Okay. I want to make sure I close with, because sometimes I ask great questions and sometimes I miss the best thing people need to hear. So I'm going to just leave it open to you guys. You got in all of Cleaning Nation or some subset listening to this podcast of Cleaning Nation. If you can get an encouragement, anything that you would have liked to hear when you guys were listening to the podcast, like, oh, if I could just ask someone that had been through the program was winning, any value you guys see fit. As you see fit, begin.
So I would say the encouragement that I have to say is definitely keep going and don't give up, you know, because if you started this business, you do have dreams to become somebody and you do have goals for your business. So definitely don't give up. A lot of the pains that you go through are growing pains, and it just comes with the nature of the business. And you just got to find out how you can fine tune it and make it fit into your company.
Yeah, it's funny. If you quit, then the story ends with that. When you're in your own mind or telling to other people, like, I had this business and I quit and that was that. If you don't give up, that's just the middle point, right? Like every business I know of, every success, like, you know, Elon Musk sold PayPal for hundreds of millions of dollars. He was almost bankrupt with SpaceX. And had he given up or quit or just it wouldn't have gone through, his story would be super different. But now no one even knows that part, which felt like the end of the world to him. But now it's just like, oh yeah, that was just this middle blip because he didn't give up. The only thing I would add is don't keep doing the same thing you're doing. Ask for different results. That's nutball. So don't give up for sure. Cause as soon as you give up, well, that's the end of it. But don't keep doing what you're doing and just be like, it'll get better because it has to, because it won't. Do something different. Even if it fails, I'd rather give up swinging and just lay down and die, or keep doing the same dumb thing. Like, at least bang your head against a different wall, right? Like, at least it's a different wall, you get a different view. All right, Sunny, we're gonna end with the wise one. Any feedback to either the owners, the partners, anything you think would be of value? We're here listening.
I was thinking as he was talking about how the different people around him will kind of pull him in different directions, you know, kind of like when you see advertisements, you know, they're trying to pull you towards what they're offering. And as a business owner, I see him get phone calls all day long, advertisers wanting, hey, we're going to help sell you this. We're going to put you in front of all these customers. We're going to do all this for you. We're going to help you build your business. I see them pulling him. I see family members pulling him. Hey, let's try to do the business this direction. You know, employees, let's try to do this. This isn't working. Why are you doing this? And, you know, I see a lot of that. And, you know, and, you know, you have to be strong and not faltering into falling down one of those hallways, you know, or that sort of thing. But it's really important to follow somebody who has results or has, you know, the evidence behind what they're doing and that they actually know a little bit about what you guys talk about, which is a cleaning business. It's not like any other business. It's really unique and it is a very specific area. So if somebody really is in between as to whether Mike could really help them or something like that, really give it a chance, because the cleaning business is definitely a business of its own. And I really feel like you guys have really good results driven.
Oh, dang it. Don't mute yourself when you're saying nice things about us. Jiminy Christmas. All right, go ahead. You're unmuted again.
Stuff that's really beneficial for business owners, especially that are cleaner, like in the cleaning subset. So,
well, A, thank you for the kind words. B, very common for people in your position, Sunny, where you're like, I've managed people before and I was very good at it. And then I come to manage my cleaning team and somehow, like, am I dumb all of a sudden? Or like, it's just a different kettle of fish managing kind of lower wage people doing super hard work, right? When you're paying people 40, 50 grand a year to do kind of sit in an office and do something or another or sell. I'm not saying it's, you know, there's anything worse than that. It's just, it's a different thing. So we think those skill sets will translate and then we're frustrated when they don't. So absolutely, I would agree. Anything you're trying to achieve, find a guy, gal, team that has not only done it themselves, ideally done it themselves repeatedly, and then really helped other people get the same result that you want, like lots and lots of times, not just once or twice. And then I would even layer on top of that core values match, right? Like, we're a little silly and we do things our way, and God bless Desmond and Sunny for putting up with us. But there's a lot of people like, you're not professional and you're silly and blah, blah, blah. I don't want that. It's like, cool. Like, that just means we're not, it doesn't mean I should change. It doesn't mean they should change. It just means I got to find someone else. So, cool. Guys, gals, if that's you and you're like, I think I'm done banging my head against this wall, and it's either do something different or do something different. Like, I'm either going to give up on my dream and go get a job or get some help. Well, get some help. Well, you know, go down swinging at the very minimum. You can even email me, mike@growmycleaningcompany.com. If you're like, I'm too scared for that, just go to growmycleaningcompany.com. I don't think we have anything for sale. Even if you email me, I'll just do my best to help. And I've never sold nothing. Well, I shouldn't say I've never sold. I can't recall. I don't sell nothing over email. So if you want to help, just email me. I'll do what I can to help over email. But growmycleaningcompany.com has got a ton of resources. And if you think we're full of crap or you don't like the cut of my jib, fine. There's people out there. Just don't keep doing what you're doing. Like Desmond said, don't give up, but don't just keep doing what you're doing and hope it'll magically get better. There's one thing I can tell you definitively. It shan't. It won't get better till you do so. Take some action. Thanks, Clean Nation. We will see you soon. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.